We've been entering into a series called God Is. And we've looked last week at God is love. And after speaking, I was reading, what is, I think, one of the classics in Christian writing, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And I read a little bit of this book that talks about the attributes of God, and I think I need to share part of it with you, just to be clear what I was saying. I think I was talking about God is love and how, you know, at the core of his being, and while I think it's important to see God as love and to know his love, Tozer is quite clear that when you look at the attributes of God, that there's not one that's one that everyone else is built on. They really are in union with each other. They are all part of his character. So let me read this. God's attributes are not isolated traits of his character, but facets of his unitary being. They are not things in themselves. They are, rather, thoughts by which we think of God, aspects of a perfect whole, names given to whatever we know to be true of the Godhead. To have a correct understanding of the attributes, it is necessary to see, we see them all as one. We can think of them separately, but they cannot be separated. In studying any attribute, the essential oneness of all the attributes soon becomes apparent. We see, for instance, that if God is self-existent, he must also be self-sufficient. And if he is powerful, he being infinite must have all powerful. If he possesses knowledge, his infinitude assures us that he possesses all knowledge. Similarity, his immutability presupposes his faithfulness. If he's unchanging, it follows that he cannot be unfaithful, since that would require him to change. Any failure with the divine character would argue imperfection. Since God is perfect, it could not occur. Thus, the attributes explain each other and prove that they are but glimpses the mind enjoys of an absolutely perfect Godhead. All of God's acts are consistent with all of his attributes. God, being who he is, cannot cease to be what he is, and being what he is, he cannot act out of character with himself. He is at once faithful and immutable, so all his words and acts must be and must remain faithful. I think it might be demonstrated that almost every heresy that has afflicted the church for the years has arisen from believers arising from believing about God things that are not true, or overemphasizing certain true things so as to obscure other things equally true. To magnify any attribute to the exclusion of another is to head straight for one of the most dismal swamps of theology, and yet we are all constantly tempted to do just that. And so I just want to be sure that as we continue looking at God is, that we are aware of these different attributes, but that that we would never say that this one is over the others. They are all of utter importance in understanding of the God who's revealed himself to us. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All of I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The song was written by a man named Thomas O. Chisholm in 1923. And here's the incredible story behind the hymn. There's no special circumstances to cause the writing of this song, except for his own walk of faith and biblical truth. There are many stories behind the hymns that we have read, and I love each one of them, but as I was thinking about Great is Thy Faithfulness, and here is a man who wrote it strictly out of his own experience and the truths of God's Word. And this morning I want us to be reminded of God is that God is faithful. Faithful. That he is one, the one, who is firm in his adherence to his promises. He is true to his word. True to his promises. True to his character and being. True to the covenants that he has made. Oftentimes we'll use the word steadfast. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's a love that is unwavering. It's firm in purpose. And there are those words that when we think of faithfulness and steadfastness, one that we mentioned in the reading from Tozer, that thought of immutability. God is unchangeable. He is changeless. God cannot change in any way and is not able to change. It's part of his faithfulness to his character. And so as we look at it this morning, we think about this whole idea of being faithful. Now, at any given time, each one of us is either being unfaithful or has experienced someone being unfaithful to you. It can be in a big thing or a small thing. Someone has promised that they're going to pick you up. And then the time comes and you pick up your phone and you call and they totally forgot. And you say, oh, that's not a big thing. It's not. But there was a promise that was made. It could be a bigger thing. But there's this idea of unfaithfulness. How many of you experience unfaithfulness in some shape or form in your life? The unfaithfulness that we deal with can cause quite a gap when we consider the faithfulness of our God. For a number of people, when they think of faithfulness, there's a gap that's caused because they see the unreliability of man, and we're talking about a faithfulness of a God, and somehow the experience we've had with man affects this trust or this faith with a God who cannot fail, who will not let you down, who will not leave you, never forsake you, and is true to his word. But there is a gap there that can easily be recognized. So this morning we want to look at this idea of God is faithful. I want us to look beyond our experiences where we've been let down. In the workplace, there was a promise that was made. You were going to get this position. All of a sudden there was a change of thought and it goes to someone else. You were banking on the faithful word of a superior and it didn't happen. These things, and there's other, obviously there's so many different experiences, but we want to be thinking this morning about God is faithful to his character, his people, his promises, and his covenant. I know a young pastor who, when he receives an invitation to preach the word of God, will post on Facebook, "Have you got my back? Will you pray for me? Have you got my back? Can I depend on you? Can I count on you being faithful to pray that God will prepare me and use me for his glory?" Can we understand the faithfulness of God? I need to share something here. Yesterday, a couple of the elders and myself had the opportunity to meet with those who were coming into membership today. And it was incredible, the stories of faith that as each one shared the journey that they were on. And I'm sure that if you were to talk to any one of those eight people up here, the one thing that they would share in the years that they've been walking the Lord is God's faithfulness. The new members, would I get an amen? And others likewise. God is faithful. Despite the fact that I might be unreliable, that I might be unfaithful, God is unwavering in his faithfulness. And so this morning we're reminded, when we consider the attributes of God, the attributes of God tell us what he is and who he is. They talk of his character and they tell us who he is. But I wonder if we might be able to take a little journey through the scriptures this morning. Because I see through the scriptures, and it's interesting because I think I was saying this maybe even last week. When we take the Bible and when you read from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see the theme of God's love throughout the scriptures from cover to cover. When you take the scriptures and you look from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see the holiness of God from cover to cover. You'll see that God is light. You'll see his power from cover to cover. I want to remind us that all these things are in union with one another. They all are part of the God that has revealed himself in his scriptures. So this morning, I want us to look at the faithfulness of God. And one thing that we see is while God is faithful, his people certainly trip up throughout the scriptures. When we look at, if you want to take a look at Numbers chapter 33, Numbers chapter 33, to me, would be if you are a CAA trip ticket person, if you're one of those people that says, you know what, I just love to get the trip ticket. How many of you ever had a trip ticket that you might know what I'm talking about? You're traveling somewhere, and usually your trip ticket, you're driving. So if you're going from here to New Orleans, this trip ticket would give you the direction and all the stops, you know, the exits and turns and all the way to make your way to that location. So if that excites you, and I know for some of you it does, you look into Numbers chapter 33, and this is a trip ticket of Israel's journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. What has happened along the way? What is one word that you, is there a word that you would describe the Israelites, the Jewish people? Is there a word that you might use to describe them as they've left from Egypt to the Promised Land? That journey, is there any words that come to mind? Whiny? Stubborn? Unfaithful. Thanks, Don. You know the one I wanted to get. Okay, all right. You're right. They were whiny, stubborn, unfaithful people. Okay. And as we look at it, I was looking at this chapter, and it's incredible because you see the stops along the way. You can see that here's a group of people that needlessly have wandered because of their own disobedience, because of their own unfaithfulness, have wandered for so long. And then you look at it and you see the verse, like in verse 53, where it says, where God is telling them, take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Through all of their unfaithfulness, through all of their whining, stubbornness, sinfulness, all those things, the rebelliousness that was present, God is still faithful. God gives them instruction, and as you continue to read the scripture, they go into the promised land. But it was never because of their faithfulness. It was because God had promised Abraham. He made a covenant, and God would remain true to his word. I will make your descendants a great nation, and I will give them the promised land. And we look through the covenants of God, and he remains true to his word. Sadly, they enter in the land, and if you want to read through Joshua, you'll see that, again, there was times that they were disobedient. If you want to go further and you want to go into Judges, you'll see, again, a book that is a cycle of the way that the Israelites were living. But it's incredible, because if you look into the book of Judges, one of the verses you're going to see is that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. But the focus needs to be not on the rebellious ways and the stubbornness and the unfaithfulness of the Israelites. Judges is all about the faithfulness of their God. Here's the cycle. There's peace and prosperity. Then there's apathy and compromise. There's unfaithfulness that leads to times when there's rebellion and paganism takes place. The people experience famine, wars, plagues, and slavery. Then in that state that they've got themselves into, there's a confession and a repentance. There is a crying out for God. And what happens? God hears, saves, restores. God's people, unfaithful, God committed to being faithful. Even though there are times when he would let his people go through these times of misery because of their own actions. He was faithful. And they would be rescued out of it and they'd be restored. Now, you would hope that they might learn. Maybe after the second time, maybe the third time, but I believe in the book, the cycle repeats itself 7 times. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. But that can't be the focus of the book. We need to learn from that. But the call is to recognize that through it all, God is faithful. God's the one who saves, restores, renews, and that is the focus of the book of Judges. At least that's where it needs to be. So we see that you've got this Jewish nation that this seems to be unfaithful through its history. But let me point to another side. It's the story of David. David, the young shepherd boy, whose father calls him and says, I want you to go and I want you to take supplies to your brothers. Israel is fighting against the Philistines. The battlegrounds are being drawn. There's a valley and the camps are on opposing sides. So David is instructed to go and to take these supplies to your brothers. The father also is very concerned, and you know the father is hoping that David will go and at least be able to bring some sort of report back of what is happening there. David goes, and David, just being this young boy that has a faithfulness that is bold beyond comparison to the armies of Israel at this time, goes and takes it and sees this man come out who's taunting them from the other side. This giant of a man, the champion of the Philistines, comes out, and daily he's coming out and he's taunting the armies of God, the armies of Israel. And David's going, what on earth is going on here? Is no one going to stand up to this guy? Now his brothers obviously are ticked off. Are you trying to make us look bad? David ends up in 1 Samuel 17. He ends up before Saul. Saul, who was what? He was king, but what was he known for? Tall. He's a head above everybody. He was the giant in Israel. You know, if you're into the ultimate fighting championship, it's Goliath and Saul. This is the match you've been waiting for. And here's Saul. He's cowering in the tent. He's the leader, he's the warrior, king, who's supposed to lead them, and he's cowering for his life. In fact, he's trying to, they offer this incredible prize package, if you want to say it, to anyone who'll go out and fight him and defeat him. And David's looking at this, and he's going, what is going on? And we see that Saul looks at him, and he says, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. Here's David's response. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he's defied the armies of the living God. And here's the key. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said, go and the Lord be with you. At least Saul got that part right. Go and the Lord be with you. Here's the point. David is able to stand up and say, I'm going to fight this guy. Why? Why was he able? Because God had been faithful. God was with them. Had God been faithful with the Jewish nation throughout their journey? And yet they continued to just wallow in this time of sinfulness and unfaithfulness. Had God been faithful through each cycle of the book of Judges? Yes. And yet they didn't learn. Well, here is the nation, again, of Israel in front of the Philistine camps, and there's about a battle to take place. Their armies are of no use, and there's a little shepherd boy that stands up. And the reason that he can stand up is because he know that God has been faithful with them on the pasture, and he will be faithful with them in the forum, the arena that he's going to fight in. God is faithful. You can say it. God is faithful. And we see that throughout the scriptures. And we're reminded of that. God is true to his word. I know it's been a few months since Christmas, but you know what? When I consider the Christmas story, my favorite part of the Christmas story is when Jesus is presented in the temple. I equate it to the Christmas story in the narrative of Luke, where it says, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he'd been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was faithful. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory and for the glory to your people Israel. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Sovereign Lord, as you have been faithful to your words." What an experience. And so we can look, and I would encourage you as you look throughout the scripture to see the faithfulness of God throughout the word, despite the rebellious ways of his people. God was faithful. But we also see people like David, who had his battles and had his times when he fell. But you know what? He knew that God was faithful to restore him. And in the instance that we talked about, boldly he stepped forward because God had been faithful with him. We see Simeon, this devout man of God, and it had been promised to him, and what God had promised would happen. God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And I just want to take a few moments now, and I want us to consider some of the ways in which God is faithful. He is faithful in his character that he cannot change. But we see that there are a number of things that God does for us and in us that shows his faithfulness. God is faithful to save. God is faithful to save, and we can see this in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And as we read it, we see, "Therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." God is able to save. I mean, the scriptures make it very clear to us. Salvation is no other name except Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said that, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me." It is God who does the saving work. It is us that respond in faith, believing what he has done for us. But we need to be reminded that God is faithful to save. God is faithful to keep. 1 Peter 4, verse 19. "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." In Jude 24 and 25, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." God is able to keep us. 2 Timothy verse 12, Paul declares his complete confidence in the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed until that day. God is committed. He's committed to our keeping. I was reading this past week, and I just want to flip back into the Old Testament, into the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, we read these words. Again, the Israelites have been a people that have been in and out of bondage. And here is God speaking through Jeremiah in verse 32, in chapter 32, verse 38. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. And as I read the scripture, I see that God, there's a commitment of God to us. I was challenged this week as I was listening, and you know what, if you have the chance and you want to have some time of instruction, like 3 or 4 minute little vignettes, go on YouTube and punch in John Piper. I just love the man's ministry. But Piper was talking about this, and he was sharing. He says, do we not find ourselves maybe waking up thinking that, Lord, I'm still with you, as if we were doing it in our strength? And he talks about God's commitment to hang on to us. God will keep us. I am rescued by God. I am restored by God. I am renewed by God. God is relentless in the pursuit of those who he loves. And he will not let go. God is faithful. God is faithful to protect. How many of you could say that there's been times when you've been going through something, you've been traveling in that, and you know beyond a shadow of doubt that God's hand was upon you, that he was protecting you? God is faithful to protect, and we read that in his word. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. This is talking about the spiritual attacks you're on, but God protects us. Paul had more than his fair share of Satan's vicious attacks. Writing from experience, he could assure the believers that the Lord would sustain them in their hour of trial. We read the New Testament letters, and we need to be reminded that in that particular atmosphere that they were written in that particular time, the Church of Christ was under constant persecution and opposition. But God would protect. Again, we were reminded of the words from 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation ever seizes you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is faithful to protect. God is faithful to deliver. And one of the first verses I remember, you know, reading when probably just after I became a Christian, it might have been even the night that as I sat and was walking, had somebody sort of walk me through the four spiritual laws. God is faithful to forgive. If we confess our sins, he is, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessed truth to lean on. That Jesus provides a forgiveness for us, that as we confess, God is faithful to forgive us our sins, past, present, and future. God is faithful. We see it in his word. And as you share your stories with one another, I'm sure that as you share what God is doing, what he's done, and what he's done, there's evidence that God is faithful. Has God been faithful in your life? I know we want to be faithful, but let's never lose sight of his faithfulness. We might fail. We might sin. But God continues to restore and renew. God's grace, you know, does not allow us to continue in that way. He will restore, and there's an act, there's that work of grace in our lives that we need to be open to receive. Let's not buy into the laws that because of my unfaithfulness that I'm done. But let's focus on the faithfulness of our God, who is able to forgive, who is able to protect, who is able to keep, who is able to restore. You know, God is faithful. I might have shared this story before, and I'm not certainly not going to sing it for you this morning. God is faithful. And but when I was a little kid, my uncle was in a Fellowship Baptist quartet. And there were many songs that we would sing in the car. And as I had the experience with Don the other night, when you're 5 or 6 years old, 99% of young boys at that age do not have a deep voice. They don't. My goodness, the other night there was a kid behind us at the hockey game. I got to share this with you. I've never heard a boy scream that loud in all my life. Kid needs to be delivered. But anyways, but here I am. I'm in the car. I'm in the car and we're driving along, and some of you would remember the song. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord as he sings the song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky over the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky over the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. The song came to me. There's a couple spots where my uncle would always tell me to try to do the deep bass part and didn't work. But you know what? I never have forgotten that song. 5 or 6 years old, it was imprinted and just it seemed to be etched in my mind and my heart. Our God is faithful. He's a faithful friend. We can trust the Lord. He desires for us to trust us. He will never fail. Read his promises. You'll find that God is faithful. He's faithful to his character, his being, his promises, his covenants. We need to remember that God is faithful. I want you to think for this morning for a moment. If a complete stranger asked if he or she could borrow your car for a few minutes, you never met him before, chances are you'd probably say no. But you would surely say yes if a close friend made the same request. We can only put our full trust in someone we come to know very well. The one reason why we study the attributes of God is that we will get to know him. We will get to know this God who's revealed himself to us. That's why we're looking at these. And for some of us, we could say, you know what? You know, I've heard these for years. Well, I got news for you. Look at them again, and God will bring something fresh into your minds and your hearts with regards to his character. To know him is to trust him. To know him is to worship him. To know him is to find him faithful. God is faithful. Let's pray.